How's your timers working? Anybody's battery run out yet? For those who are just getting here, at the beginning of the message, we are attempting to do 60 seconds with God every 60 minutes. And we passed out a bunch of timers. I've given out pretty close to about 80 of them. And so if you didn't get one or you want one, we still have about 4, 5, 6 left back in the back. Hit one of the ushers up and don't hit them. Just talk to them, all right? And let them know you'd like to have one of those timers. And we've been going through 60 seconds every 60 minutes. We can get so busy in our lives. We can get so wrapped up in what's going on around us and all the stuff that's happening to us that we forget. Just you know, God, you're there. You're there. And so we've been going through these messages here, walking and how to recognize His voice and all of those. And this morning, I want to talk about unanswered prayers. You ever feel like your prayers never got through the ceiling? You know, you've sat there and you've prayed and they're good and it's for good, and maybe it's not even about you, and it's really something you feel, God, you know, God, don't you see? Don't you recognize? And you just can't get why God didn't answer that prayer. You know, and I want us to think about this morning. Why is it sometimes our prayers go unanswered? Why is it there's times when it's like they just don't seem to get out of the building? Or maybe why is it sometimes, I'm going to tell you this one, I don't even feel like praying. I just don't even want to go there. Why is it sometimes our prayers are unanswered? Anybody ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? I don't know what to think about the movie. You know, there's some parts that I'm not quite sure about the movie Bruce Almighty. But there's one great teaching in there about prayer. Bruce Almighty, if you're not familiar with the movie, Jim Carrey gets to be God. I mean, he's complaining and whining about God and his life. And so God says, all right, you think you can do a better job? It's yours. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad God's God and not Bruce Almighty, all right? And in the midst of that show, he's trying to figure this out. And all of a sudden, he starts looking at his emails, which are prayers. And all of a sudden, his email starts filling up, and there's just a few hundred of them, and he's, you know, he's trying to answer these prayers. And the next morning, he gets up, and it just starts, and all of a sudden, there's hundreds of thousands of them. And how's he going to answer all these prayers? So he looks at his computer, and very simply, you got a computer, and what you do, you just say, answer yes to all. So he says yes to all the prayers. And guess what happens? The world ends up in chaos. The world just ends up it's crazy. If God answered all the prayers, yes, you want to know what would happen? Go see a little clip from Bruce Almighty. I tried to get the clip and couldn't get it. But it's just, the world just goes chaotic. It's just out of control. All the people wanted prayers. There's riots in the streets. And it's just unbelievable what happened. What happens when God answers our prayers? Or maybe He doesn't. See, God can answer our prayers in three ways. You might want to make a note. Get your outline out. I don't have this on there, but you might want to make a note there. There are three ways God answers our prayers. God can say yes. There's your prayer. God can say no. Most of us, many times, would consider that unanswered. A no for many of us is God didn't answer it. Because He didn't answer yes, therefore it's unanswered. And God says wait. See, God has three ways. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. Three ways. Yes, no, wait. He doesn't say maybe, all right? God is not a God of maybes. I want to make sure you understand that. God will answer every one of your prayers with one of those three answers. The problem is when God says no, most of the time we think that's unanswered. Most of the time we consider, well, God didn't answer my prayer because He didn't answer. Because they were good prayers. It was a good idea. It had good intentions. It was all this. We had this right feelings about it. And we just felt God should. But He doesn't. And so we calculate that prayer as unanswered. And then we read a verse like this. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. And it'll be yours. Kind of like a blank check. All you got to do is ask. Jesus Christ signs off on it, and it's a blank check. Just ask and believe. That's it. Now, I've heard people preach this. I'm going to talk a little more about this belief element, but I've heard people preach, all you got to do is have faith. That if your prayer wasn't answered, it's because you didn't have enough faith. Anybody else heard sermons like that and ideas like that? The problem with your prayer is you, and you just didn't have enough faith. I want to tell you, no, I'll get to that in a little while in the message, but we sometimes take this as a blank check. God, whatever I want, you're supposed to give me because I believe you can do it. I've heard people say that. But what happens when God doesn't answer? Why? Why is it there's occasions when the prayer has good intent, when the prayer has good ideas, when the prayer really is something that is positive? Why is it that sometimes God says no or wait, and then we think that's unanswered? I want to look at that this morning. I really want you to dwell on that this morning. And I'm going to be very plain in the message, and I'm going to hit some points that I think we need to hear, because I think we ignore it far too often. Because here's the key for me. Look at what it says, the very first point. My sin will bring unanswered prayers. All right? If you harbor sin in your life, if you're practicing sin in your life, now I'm talking any sin, all right, that will hinder your prayers. I look at it this way. Some of us have raised our children. Some of us have children. Now, if your child is misbehaving, some of you are going to raise children, okay? Now, you'll think like this too. If your child is misbehaving, and your child isn't doing what you ask them to do, go make the bed up, you know, go clean your room up, when they come and ask you for something, what are you going to tell them? Right? If your child, you know, I've asked you to clean your room up, you didn't do it, so no. Am I right? I asked you to carry out the garbage, and you didn't do it, so no. Anybody ever do that to their kids? Well, that's what God says. God's sitting there saying, listen, you're asking me, but you're behaving like a jerk. Why should I answer your prayers? Look at what he says to Ezekiel. Look at this. This is what he's talking to Ezekiel. The Lord hasn't lost his powerful strength yet. God is still God, he sits here and says. Ezekiel's right there. God is still God. He can still hear and answer prayers. Is that true? Yeah. Your sins are the roadblock between you and your God. That's why he doesn't answer your prayers or let you see his face. Sin is one of the reasons God doesn't answer our prayers. We get caught up in sin. Now, I'm going to get real specific here and mention some sins, all right? I'm not going to talk about white lies, but is that a sin? It's only a white lie, right? But I'm going to tell you something. A white lie will stop a prayer. All right? You know, we just stretch the truth. Stretching the truth can stop a prayer. So I got a list here of some sins because I think we just go on. Look at this first one here. Idolatry. Now, I want to make sure, idolatry, I'm not saying adultery. All right? We all know that one. You know, I'm going to get to that one at the end of this little outline here. But idolatry. Idolatry is, I'm going to give you a definition. Anything you put before God. All right? That's idolatry. An idol is anything that comes between you and God. And idolatry will prevent God answering our prayers. Look what the scripture says. Son of man, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They have embraced things that lead them into sin. Why should I let them ask me anything? Does that sound like you set up these things? I like that part, in your heart. He didn't say having some statue in their house. We all know idols like that, right? You know, people have idols in their house. I remember visiting one lady one time when I was knocking on doors, when I was pastoring in Willits. I knocked on the door and I introduced myself as Gary, the pastor of the Baptist church in town. And her only words was Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. And she had a big Buddha on her fireplace. You know, I think that's an idol. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm whacked out. But to me, that's an idol, all right? You know, we just got done talking. I was talking to somebody about Ephesus in our Bible study this week. And Ephesus had their little goddess Diana that they had in their houses. And they had this little statue. That's not what it's talking about. He says, idols in their hearts. What kind of idols do we have in our hearts today? I'll give you some. Money, honey. Show me the money. Can money be an idol? Can we put money before God? How about jobs? Can we put our job before God? Ooh, how about TVs? I really go meddling because I meddle with my own life. Computers. Today, I got last Friday, I got done working on the sermon. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was kind of wrapping things up, and it's like one of my emails, Dale's got a sale on computers. Yeah. I go right to the Dale website, start punching in, and you need to know, I customize my computer. I want, there's certain sound cards I want and video card I want, and I'm going through there, and it's got almost $400 off on this computer. You know, it's like, man, doesn't that look nice? Now, you need to know, I don't need a computer right now. We'll talk about motives in a little while, but I don't need one right now, but it would sure be nice. Yeah. I think an idol that we experience today in America, I think this is probably the number one idol Americans have right now. Comfort. We want to be comfortable. I think that's become an idol for America. We just want to be comfortable. I need to make more money so I can be comfortable. I need a new car so I can be comfortable. I need a bigger home so I can be comfortable. I think we put comfortable. I can't go to church because it's hot. I can't go to church because it's raining. I'm going to get wet and melt in the rain. I'm too sweet. You know? We get comfortable. You know, I always find this so interesting. It's hard to go to church. It's raining outside. It's foggy outside. But you know that football game and they're freezing and they got no clothes on and they're painted purple? And they're sitting there yelling at a football game, but they can't go to church. I don't get it. See, I think we have made comfort an idol in America. How about this idol? Consumerism. I think that's become an idol. Yeah. Got to have, want more, bigger, better, newer. I challenge you, watch a commercial, and one of three words would be in every commercial. Bigger, better, newer. Almost every commercial, something's new. You know, that bald-headed guy that cleans your house, what was that guy's name, you know? He's been there for 100 years. I've seen him on TV. I'm not 100 years old. Wait a minute, I better go back. Since I can remember, all right? But it's always new and improved. You know, we make these things idols in our life. And if you're going to pray, you need to make sure there is nothing between you and God. The TV, the computer, the job, the money, comfort in your home, whatever it is. If you want answers to your prayers, one of the sins is idolatry. We don't say it that way, but it really is. So if you're looking for a stumbling block in your prayers and wondering, well, God, it was a good prayer, it was really for the best, why didn't you answer? Is there sin in my life? Is there something that won't let get through the ceiling of my house? So the first thing we need to look at is idolatry. What's the second thing we need to look at? Oh, indifference to needs. To me, this one's very popular right now. We got Haiti going on, and we see all the other needs in America. It's really a tough time. And what God says is real simple. Look at what he says here. If you won't help the poor, don't expect to be heard when you cry out for help. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If you can't help those who are unfortunate and the less fortunate, why should I help you? I think this sounds pretty serious. Do we care for those who are less fortunate? Now, this is something I struggle with, all right? Anybody drive down Sisk Road or you drive into Costco, into the parking lot, and you got somebody standing there with a sign. Anybody see what I'm talking about? Yeah. Needy. And am I indifferent? Because you know, when I drive by, you need to know, I feel sorry. I have compassion. And I don't think I'm indifferent because here's my philosophy and here's what I do. I give to the gospel mission. If you want help, go to the gospel mission. Go to Interfaith Ministry. Go to Salvation Army. I want to help you. But most of them want you to give them what? Money. And I don't know if I'm indifferent with that or not, but we need to think about the indifference. It's so easy to drive by them. It's so easy to have sympathy. You know, to see the woman. I remember watching the woman there at Costco with some little kids. And my heart breaks. This week I'm going to the gospel mission. I challenge you, some of you adults, the youth go. Some of the adults, we need to go. To sit there, and sometimes there's, I remember in the past, there'd be 10, 15 families come through, people with children. And they get to go through first. And then they bring the rest in. Last time I was there, there were 60 children with families. And I said, it just breaks your heart to see that. And it just hurts. See, God over and over, and this is one of the things I look at in God's Word, over and over, you'll find God's Word talking about orphans and widows and a special place they hold in God's heart. And we need to pay attention to those who have a need. Now, see, I struggle because if you can work, go work. I mean, that's just where I'm at. I mean, yeah, I've shared with you when I ministered to a young man here in Salida, 19 years old, healthy as an ox. Goes down to Interfaith Ministry, he gets 7 bags of groceries. Comes back and tells me he's never going to do it again because he spent 2 hours down there helping him unload 2 semi-trucks worth of groceries. I volunteer. You know, I'll go unload 2, help you unload 2 semis for 7 bags of groceries. And yet he didn't. I don't, you know, how do you balance that with indifference? I wrestle with. This week, Salida has a, last week I should say, Salida has a food closet. And the third Tuesday of the month, I go down there as the pastor from one of the churches in Salida, and I represent the pastors at the little food bank here in Salida as they give out food and minister to some in Salida who don't have and who have needs. I was excited when we did our relationship study, our 40-day study on relationships, and one of the groups got together and gathered up over $200 through a garage sale and raised $200 and gave so that families in Salida to the food baskets and Thanksgiving baskets or Christmas baskets in Salida. And then to have our church, you know, I like that because our church gave to that to help the whole people in Salida, and then we adopted a family. Matter of fact, 2 families. So we gave out there, and then we made it a little more personal by in here. You need to think about if, when you pray, do I have a little indifference towards some people? Is my heart a little hard towards individuals? I wrestle with this because I'm one who believes, get out there and work. I mean, yeah, I've done every kind of job. I mean, I you need to know, I've shoveled horse manure. I'm using manure. I didn't say really what it is. All right. You know, you need to know, I have literally in my life shoveled horse manure to make some money. I mean, how many have done jobs like that? We've all had experiences like that. So sometimes it's frustrating, but I need to guard this in my life. This is one area that I have to really pray about for me to make sure my heart doesn't become hard and that I don't become indifferent. If I want God to answer my prayers, am I indifferent to the needy? I think that's something to think about because it says he doesn't answer when I cry out for help. What's next? Oh, anger. When you're angry, 2 things usually happens. When I get angry, 2 things really happens. One is when I get angry, I don't want to pray because I'm angry. That's the furthest thing from my mind. I don't want prayer. I want vengeance. That's what Gary wants, all right? I want to get even when I get angry. Or when I get angry, my prayer, if I do pray sometimes when I'm angry, is, where's that bolt of lightning from them, God? I need to see it. You know, strike them, God. Let them know they're wrong, God. Show them where they're right, where I'm right and they're wrong. Anger can hinder our prayers. Look at what it says. So I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up their hands in holy manner without anger and arguments. Wow. You know what? I got to check in when I'm going to pray. I need to check in on my relationship with others. Matter of fact, you can find Jesus telling a story in the Bible. Guy goes to church, Jesus says, and he's sitting there praying, and he's got a problem. And it's not his problem, it's somebody else's problem. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you go to church on an occasion, and you're sitting in church, and you realize somebody has something against you. Now, notice what it said. It didn't say you have something against somebody. It says somebody has something against you. You get up, go out and make it right, and then come back. See, if I want God to answer my prayers, I got to have a right relationship with others. So somewhere in this little blank, I would put, as I'm talking about anger, put broken relationships. Write something, write it in there somewhere. Because broken relationships, anger's just a part of that. Anger's just an element of it. Broken relationships will hinder your prayers. When you're angry, when you're mad, when you're fed up. Anybody ever been fed up with somebody? Anybody? Fed up with that job, fed up with somebody, fed up with that task. You've had it. That will hinder your prayers. You might not pray. And if you're praying, you might be praying the wrong thing because you're mad. We need to come back when we pray and see, is there a problem when I've been praying to God that it's just, there's a broken relationship that needs to be fixed? There's something that's just not quite right. I'm mad. I'm angry. I really want God to strike them dead. You know, I never pray for that. I'm always afraid. You know, I was sharing this with some people this week. I literally believe God takes care of his own. Wholeheartedly, that's what God's word says, and I believe God takes care of his own. And what I'm afraid of is if somebody does something to me and I pray for something to happen to them, it'll happen. And then I'll feel guilty. And so I really watch what I pray when I get angry. Because that scares me. Because then I got, you know, because you know what? I believe God can do just about anything. Well, wait a minute. I believe God can do anything, all right? And we need to be careful what we pray. And sometimes this anger becomes a block, a ceiling, a roof in our prayers. And we need to deal with that. And this kind of takes me to the next one, because the next one kind of flows out of this anger. Instead of being angry, what about unforgiveness? What about unforgiveness? Look at the scripture. I'll go with the scripture. When you are praying, if you're angry with somebody, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. Over and over again, you will find a saying along this lines from Jesus. Over, and I'm not talking just once. I'm not talking twice. I'm not talking three times. I am talking over and over and over again. You will find Jesus' word saying, God will forgive you if you forgive others. If you don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive you. And here's the tragic thing. I've done it myself. We try to make excuses for this like this. Well, the reason God won't forgive you is because you can't forgive others, so you can't forgive yourself, so God can't forgive you. Does that make sense? Did I confuse you yet? See, we try to excuse it away, and it's like, well, see, you know, the problem is that, it's not that God won't forgive you. I want to tell you something. Plain out, real simple. If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. Period. We can fly, you can flowery words around it. You can try to make excuses for it, like, well, it's just because God, because you won't accept that forgiveness if you can't forgive others. That's just an excuse. I'm going to make it as simple as I can. If you can't forgive others, God can't forgive you. And so if you're praying for forgiveness and you're asking God to release some guilt and you're asking God to get rid of some junk in your life and it hasn't gone away and it's an unanswered prayer, the problem might be, is there a broken relationship? Is there somebody I need to forgive? I think we whitewash this one all the time and try to excuse this one away by saying, well, it's just, God wants to forgive you and God can forgive you, but you just can't forgive yourself unless you can forgive others. And we try to flowery it up. I'm not going to flower it up. It's just flat out. I'm going to tell you, if you can't forgive others, God will not, that's what it says, will not forgive you. And that will hinder your prayers. You know, if you're holding grudges, you got vengeance, you got plans on getting even. You guys need to know, I tell my home group and studies and all this, that's my personality. I've shared with you, my personality is get even. That's me. That's the way I was raised. You know, I have two other brothers. You know, we do things to one another, and when we get done, I'm already planning. When they've been mean to me, I'm planning, okay, how am I going to get him? What am I going to do? He's going to walk out of the house, and then I'm going to go into his room, and I'm going to fix his room up for him. I that was my plans. That's my personality. We do that. I'm going to challenge you to be forgiving. If you want answers to your prayers, are you a forgiving person? If you nurture those grudges, you nurture that anger. See, that anger leads to that. You've got to get rid of it. If you want answers to your prayer, sin gets in the way. Sin can be that idolatry. Sin can be that anger. Sin can be that indifference. Sin can be this unforgiveness. And it gets in the way of God answering our prayers. I mean, every scripture, doesn't it seem to say that over and over? We always want to go back to that one. If we ask anything believing, we receive, and then we blow these others off. You got to take all of Scripture. Ask anything you want, and God hears if you believe, and God answers. But the Scripture goes on and says, if there's idolatry in your life, you got a problem. If there's indifference in your life, you got a problem. If there's anger in your life, you got a problem. If there's unforgiveness in your life, you got a problem. The last one says, if there's any unrighteousness in your life. Look at what the Scripture says. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a, circle these words, circle that word, righteous. The prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Which means if I'm not a righteous person, what are my prayers? Not powerful and ineffective. We need to make sure that we're trying to live to the best of our ability, walking in the strength and the faith of God in righteousness. And I'm going to give you a definition of right. Right is a right relationship with God. All right? Right is a right relationship. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live the right life. I'm going to meddle here and say it as flat as I can, as plain as I can, as simple as I can. You know, if somebody's out having an affair and asking God to bless themselves, forget it. All right? If you're messing around with porn and you're surfing the internet in porn and you're messing with that kind of stuff, God bless me, and you're surfing the net and that kind of stuff or changing the TV channel and playing in that kind of world, forget about your prayers. I'm serious. Because that's not righteousness. That party lifestyle, all that trash in your life, and you think God's going to want to answer your prayers. I'm going to ask you as a parent, if you don't have a kid, some of you are going to have kids at some point, and your child walks up to you and they've been behaving bad, and they ask you something, what are you going to tell them? Get real, right? You start acting right, and then I'll start, right? Come on. Am I the only parent like that? Yeah. You behave, and then I'll listen to what you ask for. Last night, we're sitting here setting church up and having fun setting church up. I'm going to tell you something. We're already talking about what are we going to do when we get our building built, because we have fun on Saturday night. I have a blast down here on Saturday night, and we're enjoying ourselves. And my grandkids are down here. I think they're out of here right now. My grandkids are down here, and they wanted money. And so it was so fun. I said, bring me something. So they're running out getting the mic stands and bringing in mic stands, and I'm giving them money, and they're fighting because they want money, and she didn't get anything, and I ain't giving you anything till you get money. You know, and it was kind of like this, you know, you want something? You give me something. Yeah. What was so fun is we went home, and I gave one of the kids a dollar and some odd change, and I forget all it was, and she goes, here, it's back. I don't want it anyway. She gave it all back. It's sitting there on the thing. I said, I don't want it. Yeah. She goes, no, it's your money. Yeah, and she gave me all my money back that I had given her last night. But when they do, I mean, when they behave, you want to reward them. When they misbehave, they ain't getting anything. I think that's God. In our prayers, we think we can act and do whatever we want, and God's going to bless us. How many people think that? Now, you don't think it, but you act it. At least I know I do sometimes. We need to deal with sin in our life if we want God to answer us. We need to think about that. If we look at our prayers and we feel, God, that was a good prayer. Now, you need to understand something. People get sick and die. There are financial troubles. People do lose their homes. Tragedies do happen. That's not always an unanswered prayer. That's the difficulties and the struggles of life. And it's always going to be like that. That doesn't mean it's an unanswered prayer. But when there are those unanswered prayers, those times when we really believe that this is what God wanted and it's not answered, is there sin in our lives? Is there something that's kind of blocking God from hearing my voice? That idolatry, that stuff, the things. Is there an indifference in our heart? Are we nurturing some anger, a grudge? Is there someone we need to forgive? Or is there just some lifestyle of unrighteousness that we need to cross? See, sin will bring unanswers to our prayers. But there's something else that brings unanswered prayers. And James says it real clear. And what it is this, our motives. You know your motives, why you ask, why you want it, the deal there. So our motives, look at what it says. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We ask with the wrong motives. We live in a world, at least I know I do. The world is me, me, me. Me first. I'm number one. You got to take care of yourself because nobody's going to take care of you. You ever hear those kind of things? I want, it's mine, me, myself, and I. This is a world we live into. And when we pray, can we get caught up with the wrong motives? Consumerism, comfort. Can we get caught up in our own little world and for our own selves? See, sometimes our prayers are just about us and what I want and why I want it and why. Here's one of the things that I struggle with, why I deserve it. Well, you know, God, I've given this and I've sacrificed this and I've done this and I haven't done this. Don't I deserve? See, we get caught up in the wrong motives. And it's so easy to do. You know, because we could make things sound so good, like the right motives. You know, I need this new computer, all right? See, my computer is fast. It's old. It's 5 years old. Isn't that old now? It's 5 years old, and I only got 1 gig of memory in it. Yeah. And it's only got a 60-gig hard disk in it. I got an extra 200 in it, and I got an extra 500 on the outside, and a 1.5 tera. Never. Let's not get into that part. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about. But you know what? I got a program that I want to run on it that doesn't run, so I need a new computer. Because there's this program I want to run. Can I make things sound so good that's wrong? Can we? Can we make things look so right that it's really not bad? It's not bad to want a new computer. It's not wrong to want a new computer. But can I make it sound so right that it becomes wrong? Does that make sense? Look at what the scripture, I love this passage right here. All men's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. We can make things sound so innocent. It sounds so good. It looks so good. See, it's not about me. You know, I really need the computer because I want to do this for the church. You know, I want to do it for church and for God and for my home group. And see, I really need it for the church. Can we do that? Can we take something and make it sound so good and so innocent? Yeah. Now, you need to know I don't need a new computer. Now, I'm not going to tell you I don't want one. I just don't need it right now. When I need it, I guarantee you guys something. When I need a computer, guess what? I will go buy me one. Because I know when I need it. Because when I need it, I'm going to want it. But see, we make it sound so innocent. Have you done that with anything? I need a new car. I need a bigger home. We need a bigger TV. You know, that 36-inch TV, that 42-inch TV, you know. I was at so-and-so's house, and they got an 84-inch TV. You know, and I need an 84-inch TV. Matter of fact, I need that Blu-ray player because all the Disney movies are coming out on Blu-ray now. You know, and those Blu-ray DVDs have all sorts of extra stuff on them. And I want to see that extra stuff. So I need that new Blu-ray player. And matter of fact, I'm going to get a Blu-ray player. I might as well get the game machine because it's almost about the same price as a Blu-ray machine. Can we make things sound so innocent and so good and still have the wrong motives? See, when we pray, we need to come back and check our motives. We need to come back and see what our motives really are. Because I'm going to give you, you know, I could have put this as a separate point, but I really believe it boils down to motives. And you want to write this. I had you write some stuff earlier. I want you to write this word in here somewhere on your paper. God's will. God's will. Our motive should be the will of God. See, I could have made this a whole nother point, but I just feel we just need to say it right here. Our will should be God's will. My motive should be the accomplishment of God's will. My prayer should be the accomplishment of God's will. Here's what I think about prayer, and I see God's word teach. My prayer shouldn't be about me getting God's will. My prayer should be about bringing my will in line with God's will. You see what I'm saying? My prayer should be about me getting my will in line with God's will. But too many of mine, I'm not even going to talk about yours. I'm going to talk about mine right now. Too many of my prayers are like this. Gary figures it all out. Gary gets it all worked out. And then he lifts it up to God and says, okay, God, bless my plan. I'm a logical, analytical person. God gave me a head. God gave me a brain. Some of you don't think he did, but he did give me a brain. All right? And I figure it all out. I get it all worked out. And then I say, okay, God, I got it all worked out. Now, God, here's my plan. Will you bless my plan? When really I should be going to God and say, God, what is your plan? In my prayers, teach me your will, O Lord, that I may follow it. Does that make better sense? Look what the scripture says. This is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. See, my prayer should not be to get Gary's will and his answers. My prayer should be to get my will in line with God and his answers. See, that's the motive. See, the motive for our prayers is the will of God. Getting us in line with him. Us on the same page that God's on. Us going in the direction that God's going in. And I want to tell you something. This is not easy. I was sharing with you as I began this morning, as we welcomed you into the services this morning. This has been a hard week for me. It's not a good week or a bad week, because I mean, I had good things go on and awesome things go on, but I had some bad things go on. It's just been a hard week. I mean, there's just some hard things going on around my life right now, and it's tough. And it's like, okay, God, now what? Anybody feel like that? Anybody in that boat right now? It's just hard. But God, what is your will? What is it you want to accomplish? How are we going to work through this? And what are we going to do? And so as you think about the motive of your prayer, and you think about, are my motives pure? Are my motives right? Ask yourself, is my motive the will of God? That's really the question to ask. You know, is my motive really the will of God to accomplish in my life? Is it really to see what God wants to do with me and through me? Is that really the will of God for you in your prayer? Because see, that's how he answers prayers. See, if we got the wrong motives, forget it. See, unanswered prayers comes because of sin. Unanswered prayers comes because we just don't know, with the wrong motives, the will of God. All right? We need to know his will. But I saved this last point, which dominates everything. This is like the trump card. You know, it's like you're playing a card and you play, this is it. Like, I'm the winner. Anybody ever play a game like that? And you save the last one. Uno. We're playing Uno. All right. You know, and boom, you lay it down. This trumps everything. This is the last card that you can play when it comes to prayers. I guarantee you, if you don't have this one right, I guarantee you, you will never get an answer to your prayers. There'll be only one answer first. Look at the point right here. It's about faith. Missing faith brings unanswered prayers. Missing faith. I'm not talking about the amount of faith, all right? This is not a question of how much faith do you have. That's never been the question for God. People, and I've heard it preached on TV, I've read it in books, and I've seen it in people's lives, where somebody will come up and say, you didn't get that answer because you just didn't have enough faith. If you would have had enough faith, God would have did what you asked him to do. And if God isn't answering your prayers, it's just because you don't have enough faith. I want you to look at the scripture with me. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. It doesn't matter about the amount of faith. It's a question, do you have faith? Do you have faith? I want to tell you, here's the first thing you need to think about when you think about praying. Do you know Jesus Christ? Hands down, no questions asked. Dominate everything, trump card on it. If you want answers to your prayers, you have to know Jesus Christ. That's the faith, period. You can pray all you want. You can plead all you want. You can sit down and crawl on your knees. You can do whatever you want. But if you do not know Jesus Christ, you will find unanswered prayers in your life. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at what I put on your paper. I have a personal relationship with God. If you want answers to your prayers, you have to have a personal relationship with God. I've been at meetings, and I was sharing with somebody else this week. I've been at meetings, and I've been asked to pray as a pastor at this official kind of a meeting. And they asked me to pray, but don't pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have people of different faiths here, they were telling me. People of Jews and people of other faiths that was part of this group. And so, yeah, we want you to pray, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. And I'm going, then that ain't praying. I don't know what you call it. You know, you're talking, but it's not praying. See, our prayers are based on Jesus. My prayers are based on who Jesus is. It's not based on who Gary is. It's not based on what Gary knows. It's based on Jesus. And so when I pray, and if you're looking at your prayers, you need to ask yourself this question first. Do I know Jesus? Do I know him personally? Not do you know about him. There are a lot of people who know about Jesus. Before I became a Christian, I knew about Jesus. I was dragged to church. Anybody else been in that boat? You know, I'd get up Sunday mornings as quiet as I can, be real quiet, my brothers, and we'd be sitting there, shh, shh, shh. We'd try to be quiet, turn the TV way down while we're waiting, hoping and praying, that my parents wouldn't wake up. Let them sleep a little bit longer, then we won't have to go to church today. I always knew there was a God. I knew there was a God. I knew the Bible was God's word. I'd never doubted any of that. But you know what? It wasn't until I was 17 years old that I know Jesus. I knew all about it. I knew the Bible is God's word. I knew who Jesus was. I didn't know who his mom and dad was. I didn't know a lot of that stuff. But I knew who he was. He was God's son. See, we have to have that personal relationship with him. If you want your prayers to work, what's your relationship with God? Through Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You know, it's really, you read the Bible, and the Bible says, you know what? The devil believes there's Jesus. It believes in Jesus. Did you know that? The devil believes in God, and he even trembles. A lot of us don't believe in God, and they don't tremble out there either, do they? But the devil knows better. You know, sometimes the devil's smarter than many people. We need to understand unanswered prayers come because people don't know Jesus. You have to know Jesus. Look what the scripture says. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. If you don't know him, you don't get answers. I can't say this any plain. I've been trying to be as plain as I can this morning. If you're sinning and want answers to your prayer, give it up. Don't give up praying. Give up the sin, all right? That's what I'm saying. If you have the wrong motives and you're doing things your own way, when you want, how you want, and forget God, give it up and give God his will and then start praying. And then pray because you know him personally, one-on-one. And you're in a relationship with him. Yeah. Because it says God does not hear the prayers of sinners. Now, it says he doesn't listen. I remember a debate I've had, and this brings up kind of a quick debate. I'm just going to kind of chase a rabbit here. God hears every prayer, okay? But God listens to the prayers of his children. Now, I could bring some children out on the other side of this curtain and let them scream. And the mother of that child that was screaming would know the voice of that child. Am I right? You would recognize your child's voice. I walked around this week. I took Samantha to gymnastics this week. Crazy place, all right? Took her to gymnastics this week. Kids everywhere. But you know what? The mothers knew their kids. They knew their voices. They knew which kid, when that kid screamed, they knew whose kid it was. I mean, they know. God knows. See, this, what this verse tells me is this. God hears everything because he's God. All right? He hears everything. He's God. But he listens to the prayers of his children. That's what I see this verse teaching. Does God hear everybody's prayers? Yes. Because listen to me means you just not just hear it, you do something about it. Anybody know what I'm, any married man know what I'm talking about here? Yeah. Did any married men ever get accused of not listening? You know, well, I heard you, but did you listen to me? Anybody been in that boat? You know? See, God listens. He doesn't just hear us, he listens to our prayers. You need that relationship with God. All right? And I want you to look at this next verse, because this next verse is really key. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You might want to underline that little last sentence there. No one. Did it say a few of you can get to God some other way? You might be able to get to God in another way. You know, there's another phone line. There's another door. There is no way to God but through Jesus Christ. And you need that relationship. See, prayers are unanswered because we don't have a relationship with God. Now, you need to know something. I want to make this as plain as I can. I say this all the time as when I give an invitation in this church. You know, I'm not talking about, well, I believe in God. I'm not even talking about, oh, I've been baptized. Or I go to church. Or I'm a good person. I'm trying the hardest I can to be a good person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, have you reached a point in your life, and you know what I'm saying, many of you have been here before, where you say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. You know what I've wrestled with all these years is this. I do not think a relationship with God is something you ask into your heart, into your mind. I think a relationship with God is a matter of your will. It's a matter of you saying, I'm going to surrender my will to God's will. See, I believe there's a lot of people who think they're Christians because they prayed some prayer. They do the churchy thing. You know, I think one of the idolatries, you know, I didn't mention this earlier, but I wanted to bring it up now. I think one of the idolatry Christians have is church. I think some Christians put church before God. I really do. You know, they make their church is God. God is God, all right? See, I believe there are people in churches today, and I pray not here, but you need to think about it. Is it your will that you surrendered to God? Your motive that you surrendered to God? Not just some head decision. You know, oh, it's a decision of the heart. That's how I was raised in a church. You got to ask Jesus into your heart. I believe wholeheartedly it's a matter of, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. It's a matter of the will. Do you really want to do things God's way? Or are you just happy with the way life's going? Here's the campaign I want to run when we build our building. Idea I have. I think the biggest thing we need to think about is, are we any better off than we were 30 years ago? Some of you haven't been alive, but think about it. Is the world a better place than it was 30 years ago? 40 years ago? Most of us would say no. Was it a better place back then? Look back to the 50s and the 60s. You know, 60s kind of, I mean, it started changing, didn't it? What was different? I'll tell you what was different. Values were different. Faith was different. Maybe what I need to come back to is not church, but a faith in God. Does that make sense? Not pretending to be church, not caught up in church, but caught up in a relationship with God. See, it's not a matter of how much faith do you have. I'm not here to say, well, do you have big faith or little faith? I'm here to say, do you have a relationship with God? You want answers to your prayers? Check that relationship with God. How you doing? What's it like? What's happening? See, it's so easy to get caught up in our world. And so I wanted to kind of bring it to this point. Some prayers go unanswered because he's never listened to them. Because we just don't know him. Just don't know him. You might think you do. You might have pretended you did. You might have played games with God. But I'm going to tell you, he knows all that. You just didn't know him. Some prayers go unanswered because you just got the wrong motives. You still want to do things your way. You still want to live life your way. You still got good plans for your own life. And you just want God to bless what you want to do. And you got the wrong motives. Selfishness. Me, 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 me. And I'm not singing. You know, me, myself, and I. Prayers go unanswered. Sin. Prayers go unanswered. As you look at your prayers, 60 seconds every 60 minutes, if you're praying, how's the answers going? How's God working? And I want to challenge you. Look at the bottom of the page. I put it this way. The better I know him, the more I trust him. You want answers to your prayers? The better you know him, the more you trust him. Because when you know him, you'll deal with the sin. When you know him, you deal with the motive. When you know him. And it just takes a little faith. Just a little faith. So I want to challenge you this morning. How you doing? How's your prayers going? Again, I want to tell you, people get sick. There's tragedies. There's financial struggles. That's always going to happen. You know, it's really interesting. You read the scripture and Jesus says there's always going to have the poor among you. I mean, and it's true. There's always going to be those things. But you know what makes a difference? Is when you know God, you have strength to get through those times. That when you know God, you have the faith to deliver you from those struggles. See, and that's what prayer does. That's what trust does. How are you walking in your faith today? I challenge you in your 60-60. How are they doing?